change things because he wants things done differently today, and we're going to do it differently. I want you to close your eyes and say with me, Lord Jesus, open my ears, open my heart to what the Spirit of God is speaking today. I give you praise that I will hear. And it will register inside my heart for God's glory. Amen? And amen. Well, I'd like to say that a couple of weeks ago, the Holy Spirit started to kind of invest a word in me. How many know that God can take weeks before he really, you know, brings life into something that you hear? You can hear it, but you don't fully comprehend it. And it is strange when you don't understand it. Because you think, well, you know, God, what are you up to? Can anybody relate? Okay. The beginning of this was listening to a word that a man of God was releasing. And it was prompted in me to really listen deeper than the surface. Anybody get the point? Deeper than the surface. I'm not going to give you the name of the individual because that'll bring glory to a man. And I'm not looking to do that. I am, however, trying to let you know the Holy Spirit will use whomever he has to, whenever he wants to change you. So the scripture that I got a couple weeks ago was John 3:16. And it says, "For God so loved the world that he gave." So I want you to look at a neighbor and say, God is a giver.
God is a giver.
Yeah. He is a giver. And this morning, as I was searching to wear something red for Christmas, he brought me to this tie. How do you like my tie? Is there a little something that's outstanding there? Or?
Yes, the black sheep.
One black sheep. All the others are pure white, but there's one black one. How many have ever felt that they were the black sheep? Put your hand up. My God, the tie is wrong.
There should be more black ones.
I know.
The tie is a mistake, right?
Yes.
Okay. Tell your neighbor now. God so loved the world.
God so loved the world.
It includes the black sheep. So much for your stinking thinking. Uh-huh. Are you pondering what I'm saying? I have a purpose. See, we are convinced sometimes by what we perceive to be the truth. Yet it's a total lie from hell. And the flesh believes it. The flesh, by the way, is what you got sitting on top of your shoulders. That box that gets you and me in trouble. Because we believe every accusation that comes into our thought life. Well, you are the black sheep, Kim. I mean, after all, there were 20 kids in your family, and you're the only one that got given away when he was 9 months old. Now that purifies the blackness, doesn't it? And does it confirm hopelessness, uselessness? And 20, 30 years into my place of adoption, all hell breaks loose. Because everybody that I cared for fell apart. Convincing me that I was that black sheep. Mom, who's been home with the Lord now for several months, was the first one that really fell apart. When I got to be about 13, 14 years old, she had a nervous breakdown. And I'm not going to go there. I'm just going to say that it confirmed how black I was. and how hopeless she was, because she believed what she was going through was without end. So she wanted to commit suicide consistently. Consistently. It lasted 17 years until the Holy Spirit got a hold of her and convinced her that she wasn't one of those black sheep, that she was going from black to white because of the blood of Jesus Christ. And when she began to change her mind and to walk in freedom, the first thing that happened was it got worse. The enemy came back and said, "It's not working." But God's Holy Spirit was using me because I had gone from black to white. I knew now that there was a whole group of children of light that were white. And their dedication to the love of Jesus Christ and His plan would change not only my parents, but me. And He's not done yet. Oh, I've always had a big mouth, but He blessed it in those years. And I began to understand that God was a loving, compassionate Father that cared for me. As I learned to care for those who were broken, even more than I was. Because that was the beginning of the revelation. That my parents were both broken vessels. You see, when you're a kid, you think parents should be perfect. Amen? How many know parents should be perfect? How many know now that they're not perfect? They're under construction, just like you. The only thing is, they're trying to fool you. They don't tell you up front they're broken. Because they can't. Sometimes there's a little bit too much pride. Sometimes the Holy Spirit's not in there. So they're doing the best they can in their own brokenness. That's what happened to me. I finally learned my parents were vulnerable and had been captured by a whole mess of lies. A few months ago, my wife and I went to see the story of Joseph down in Lancaster, Pennsylvania. And I cried all the way through it. Because you see, Joseph was given away. His brothers and sisters couldn't stand him. I could relate. His parents were broken. Mother died, etc. Incomplete, black sheep, thrown away to the Egyptians, into the land of slavery. And then, after he gets out of slavery, he goes into jail. Why? Because God wanted to set Egypt up. And he was using a slave and a jailbird, and he was preparing them to receive him as their Messiah. Joseph became their Messiah. If it hadn't been for Joseph, all of the Hebrew family would have died of starvation. God had invested himself into a man that thought he was a hopeless case and a black sheep. That's what he had done. He had invested himself. And you know what? For many years, Joseph had no clue that he was really a chosen vessel. All he had was slavery and the jail cell. Year after year after year after year. And the enemy whispered in his ear, "You're hopeless, you'll never get out." Until a couple of people that landed in jail needed the interpretation of a dream, and one was to live and the other one was to die. Yet he gave the truth that was in his heart. Because it all started when he was called a dreamer. It all started with dreams. I never want you to give up on your dreams. Some of you have walked in hopes of salvation for your family. And you still feel like you're in jail or you're in slavery. And God says to you today, there's one that came in a manger to set you free. That's what he did. For God so loved. You say, when are we going to get the message? It's just starting to perk. I'm going to take you to John. The Gospel of John. And I'm going to give you a couple of scriptures, hoping that you'll catch a clue. Because you see, God has a plan to let you have a change of heart today and to believe His truth rather than your truth. You see, His truth is God incarnate, Christ Jesus Himself. John chapter 13, verse 23. John chapter 13, verse 23. You got it, Gail? Would you read it out loud for me, please?
One of his disciples whom Jesus loved, whom he esteemed and delighted in, was
reclining. Hold it! Read that back again.
One of his disciples whom Jesus loved, whom he esteemed and delighted in.
Oh, who's writing that letter?
John.
Who's actually printing it on paper?
It's John.
John is declaring about himself that he's what?
Loved, esteemed, and delighted in.
Hmm. Not a different picture from the black sheep. So if John is declaring that Jesus is loving him, it's pretty intense, isn't it? And he's happy with him. Is that a confession of faith or not? Yeah. Are you born again? How many are born again? Jesus is inside of you, living inside of you. That's a declaration of faith. Okay? John 19, verse 26. 19, verse 26. Now you're going to get a little bit deeper of where we're going. In this verse, it says that disciple whom he loved standing nearby. Dear woman, here is your son. To the disciple, here is your mother. And John took her into his home. John is writing about himself, declaring that he is the one, the disciple, whom the Lord loved. If he's the one that's confessing this kind of love, is he depending on his love? Or is he depending on the love of God coming through Christ for him? John 21, verse 7. John 21, verse 7. Pete, are you there? Can you read it for me, please?
Then the disciple whom Jesus loved said to Peter, "It is the Lord." As soon as Simon Peter heard him say, "It is the Lord," he wrapped his outer garment around him, for he had taken it off, and jumped into the water.
Go back to the very, very beginning of it again.
Then the disciple whom Jesus loved said,
"What is his confession of faith?" He's saying about himself that the Lord loves him, and he's declaring it in writing. Yes or no? How much guts does it take before you write down, after you were first born again, "I am a born again believer"? I can remember looking at the bumper stickers at the Christian bookstore, debating, could I actually put one of those on my car? And guess what? Jesus did win. He won. And I could give you a more accurate picture if you really just now close your eyes and don't worry about the scripture. Just worry about what you and he have already established. Say, can I choose to believe that I am a disciple whom Jesus loves? Can I make that step of faith and declare it openly that I am a disciple? That means a discipled one or a disciplined one whom Jesus loves. Those of you who can choose to believe it, put your right hand up and don't look around. You're choosing to believe it. It's an active choice. That's all it is. Put your hand back down. Now I'm going to change the scenario. I'm going to bring you back to the place where Jesus is preparing that meal. But the night before, there was war games going on in a little garden called the Garden of Gethsemane. And Peter makes a declaration, "I will never deny you. I love you." And all but one said amen. The one that stood at the foot of the cross was dependent on the love that Jesus had for him. He wasn't dependent on the love that he had for the Lord. Do you understand the transition that I'm trying to push in? Because I know what I'm trying to do. And I know what it did to me. Can I activate my understanding that God loved me that much that he would let his son die for me? And then declare it. Speaking it out loud and saying it to somebody. Do you know what? I'm a disciple that Jesus loved. Then saying it this way. I'm a disciple that Jesus consistently loves. Do you know what that does to the enemy? Have you any idea what it does to every lie that you have ever believed about yourself? It starts erasing the blackness off that black sheep you think you were. Or that you were accused of. Somebody's got to say amen here.
Amen.
Are you catching on?
Yes.
The disciple whom Jesus loved declares it all over the Gospel of John. Yet, Matthew, Mark, and Luke never make that declaration. What's the difference? One was depending on God's love for him versus his ability to love back. Say, my ability to love,
my ability to love
is quite fleshy.
Is quite fleshy.
But God's ability to love me
is
totally of the Spirit.
Is totally of the Spirit.
And it never wavers.
It
It never gets doubting.
It
is constant.
He loves me that much
that he would allow himself
to be stretched out on a tree
and die so that his blood could wash away my blackness and make me spotless like the rest that are in this room right now. Look at your neighbor, say, you're as white as can be. Because of the blood that Jesus gave to wash your blackness away. Amen and amen. Are you catching on? Are you changing your pattern of thinking? Readjusting your thoughts? See, I'm pulling down a stronghold today. 2 Corinthians 10:5. Pulling down a stronghold. Pulling down an idea in your brain that says, oh, well, God doesn't care about me. He don't care because I've been in prison. I've been a slave for so long, I don't even know how to be anything else. Amen. Amen. Look at your neighbor. Look him in the eye. Say, so
your slavery
is being broken right now. Because Jesus has a great love for you and a great love for me. Hallelujah.
Ah.
Yeah. It's called digesting time. Digesting time is to take a word that God has spoken into my heart and chew on it. I can remember, I think it was Marilyn Hickey that had done a conference back in PTL when I was there. And she'd say, how are Christians like a cow? They're chewing the cud. Sometimes you need to chew on what you swallowed yesterday. I want you to ponder on that. I'm really looking to see if you can create spiritual milk. Yeah. If you ponder on this word, your whole life will change. If you ponder on his love for you, your finances are going to change. Because you're not going to be looking at how much was stolen from you, but the supply is greater than your need. Because it's according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus, Philippians 4:19. Your abilities are in him, not in yourself. It's by his strength that you'll overcome the sin nature. And if you look at his love for you, you know he wants to clean you up. Amen? He wants to clean you up so bad that you'll have a new image of yourself and you'll say, my God, Kim, I can't even see the black sheep anymore. Amen. It has disintegrated. Because I've got a new pattern of love. A new pattern of grace. A new pattern of favor and mercy that is flowing from heaven to me. Amen. Now those of you who have a need for some extra finances, I want you to stand up. I'm picking on some of you. I know I am. Finances, money. Come on now. Don't be ashamed. You can use some more. Stand up. I want you to close your eyes. Say,
Lord Jesus,
because of your love for me,
you will supply
every one of my needs. And I'll have the extra finances to do what I need to do for the holidays and for the new year. From the beginning all the way to the end. Because it's not according to what I have. It's according to his riches and glory. By Christ Jesus, who loved me so much. And I'm declaring it now. is everlasting.
It's good for eternity.
I'm good for eternity. And I'm always going to trust to the best of my ability. Not according to my strength, but according to His strength. In Christ Jesus. Because He loved me that much. And He's not giving up. He's got plans for me. A plan to bless. A plan to heal. And a plan to recreate. Everything that fell apart. Hallelujah. Praise you, Jesus. I give you all the glory. I'm coming out of the desert today. And it's lush and it's awesome. In the promised land. We're walking out today. Of the old desert. And we're coming in. Where everything is growing. And full of new life. Hallelujah. Glory to you, Lord. Hallelujah. Praise be to Jesus Christ. Who loved me. And who loves me. And continues to love me. Hallelujah. Be at peace.